Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. It's a time where we get together and we take a look at the stories that were some of the stories, not every single story that are in the Lakeville Journal. And we have one lonely occupant of the studio.
That's exactly what
I want to look at every single story. Every single story.
Exactly what we were discussing.
The one lone occupant. The lone occupant.
I like it alone.
Occupant.
I like to travel alone. I like to have dinner alone. I go to the movies alone. I like it.
I've
always gone to the movies alone.
It's so much better.
It's just funny you said that because there was just. There was just someone who was mentioning who actually wanted to know how fun would it be to go on vacation alone.
And I think fun.
Totally fun.
I think it would be totally fun. Yeah. I think
you actually get to meet people.
Yeah, you meet people.
And you're not stuck with the same
crappy person telling you can't do what you
want
to do.
You get up anytime you want to get up.
I was going to say that.
You want for breakfast.
Yeah, but you're totally away from the routine of being with someone.
It's great.
And Lord knows I love living alone because nobody else will live with me anymore.
It's great. I love living alone. I shouldn't be saying this, but
it's true.
There's the perfect person out there wants to marry me. I'm totally up for it.
Not going to happen. Super happy. Doesn't happen. All right. And here's someone who does not like to be alone, Janet Manco.
She likes it too.
I think we all need some alone time sometimes. And I've done alone vacations. They are fun.
All right. Well, it's not alone, but all together. Go and take a look at the pages of the Lakeville Journal this week. And we'll start off right with C.B. Wismar's story with Lonnie Carter.
When playwrights talk to playwrights, you got a great article for the Lakeville Journal. Lonnie Carter and C.B. Wismar, both residents of Falls Village, both big, boisterous, interesting guys. So we sat them down on the porch at Toymakers, and they talked about Lonnie's new play, which is about two women who meet at an airport just before the terror attacks on September 11th, 2001. A really interesting update on Lonnie. And if you haven't, it's hard to imagine that there's anyone who hasn't met Lonnie, but he's a fascinating guy, and here's your introduction.
All right. Now it's a flip over to the other side. There's a picture of course, the manager of the new 100 Main in Falls Village and the person behind it, Bunny Williams.
Bunny Williams. We're starting to just call her Northwest Corner hero, Bunny Williams, because she's done so much for us here in the region. The Little Guild and the Secrets.
They've been talking about trying to get Falls Village to change its name back to Canaan. Maybe they just change it to Bunnyville. She's done so. Between that building and the sidewalk project, and what happened with the Falls Village Inn.
Mm-hmm. And her own property, which is a showpiece.
And the Center on Main. You take a look at Falls Village 15 years ago and now, and it really is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and a lot of people sort of step into these little towns and go, I could fix that town up. But she really has done it, just quietly just steps in and without a lot of fanfare. Since you brought up the changing of the name to Canaan, it's complex. And I will say we're going to talk later about our special section, Discover the Canaans. It's incredible to me. Even my proofreaders still don't completely understand the difference between the Canaans. And so we explain it once again in our second edition of Discover the Canaans, and we'll talk about that later.
All right. And there's the headline, Back to School in Region 1 on August 26th.
We got the bus schedules, which are very complex and take us a lot of time to format. I'm not sure if people realize it's a real labor of love. And the bus company this year said, don't you want to just send people online? That's what the other papers are doing. And we said, no, there's no internet in several of our towns, our readership towns, and those people want to know when the bus is coming for their kids. So we will have, we just actually got the bus schedules in from All Star Transportation yesterday. Thank you to Michelle. She's the best. And we will spend the next couple of days formatting them and get them in the paper for next week. So if you're wondering what time the bus is coming for your child, you will find out.
There's in radio, what I've talked about when we've tried to install hide lines and stuff like that for radio broadcasts, I end up saying to people, no, not everybody has internet up here. As a matter of fact, not everybody has running water up here. You have to understand, it's the northwest corner of Connecticut.
I know someone who doesn't have electricity.
Yes. So don't take it for granted that somebody's got internet. That's foolish. All right. And I love this story by you, Cynthia, because anybody who's been around here for any amount of time knows about the two castles in the rural area, the Scoville Mansion and the Cornwall Castle, which is much more unique and different than the big castle
and
in
there's
Salisbury.
Two Scoville castles, I think, in Salisbury. One of them just sold, and we did a story on that. But the Cornwall Castle has been for sale for many, many years, and it's got a very interesting, super colorful Vanity Fair, literally level history. And Alexander, who is has such a nice touch in writing about real estate, it's really one of his special gifts, did a beautiful story on the history of the Cornwall Castle. And then I did a story on Russell Barton and Susie Stone, the new owners. And it's phenomenal what they're doing there. That's a guy who really knows how to do it. And, you know, people, you often worry about them when they buy these big properties that have been allowed to molder and fall into ruin. We felt that way when Helen and Donald Ross bought the Holly Mansion on the lake in Salisbury, and they did such an exquisite job bringing it back to date, and it did not overwhelm them. It's the same is going to happen with the Cornwall Castle. They're doing a beautiful job. He is a professional property developer. He's got a really talented team of workmen, and they're crawling all over that place very quickly, putting it shipshape, and they'll be moving in, they hope, in a couple weeks, and they're contemplating having some public events so that people can come in and finally see this property they've been reading about in the Lakeville Journal literally for a century.
It's an amazing piece of property. It would turn very well into a property that could host weddings and big incorporate. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, which he said he doesn't want to do. I said, well, this is a perfect, yeah. You know, because this, what, you know, his wife is an equestrian. I was like, are you going to turn it into Airbnb with people bringing their horses? And he said, no, we're really looking forward to just enjoying it on our own after we let some people in.
All right. Well, it's good news for the Cornwall Castle. Mm-hmm. Over to Nature's Notebook with Tim Abbott.
Talking about the bears and how he feels like he hasn't seen that many bears. And I would say we haven't had as many bear watches, although we have a very good one this week, and we'll talk about it in a second, but also talking about his son's really excellent experience at the Audubon summer camp. And on page A2, you will see the Casey sent us a photo of a bear rambling up the driveway to Sheeran Center School, to the back entrance where the playground is, and of course where the dumpsters for the cafeteria are. So I guess everybody's back to school this week.
I see that bear probably every 5 or 6 days on my way in between 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, most of the time traversing in between Low Road and then scooting behind the liquor store and obviously heading up right. Over to
it's so
the
interesting.
Dumpsters.
Yeah, they have their routes. We have a couple of Music Mountain that, you know, they just know where they're going.
I think at a certain point, if we're not going to have a bear hunting season, the only thing we can hope is that they're going to eat so much that they won't be able to move.
Well, the sightings have been down in Salisbury, and I can say because they put those things into effect, and people around me have also put it into effect, and the sightings are probably about 50% of what they were last year.
Yeah.
Except for if you're a Harney, then, of course, they moved in with you.
Right? He keeps putting his bird feeder out. And if you're going to keep putting your bird feeder out,
then the bears are going to come.
Bear visits, yeah.
That's it.
And if you think they're going to choose that round bear cage over going into your house that they know that you can get
into. Let's see, donuts or raisins?
That's right. Yeah. Nice story here on the Rose Algren Art Show.
We all went. We all loved it. It's an incredible show. Record-setting attendance and really, you know, the trouble is I went sort of thinking like, oh, I'm going to buy some work by some of the better known artists. And I didn't buy, and I regret it, some of the smaller pieces by local people. There are some super talented people in Cornwall. And actually, we just started an Instagram page at the Lakeville Journal. And I have some photos. You can see some of the work on the walls. And really, you know, like $100, $150 for these exquisite little pieces that I now regret I didn't buy. So there's next year.
All right. And it's a nice story and color picture. But then, and I tried to interview this guy because I knew he was coming and I just couldn't work it out. And that was
the yo-yo guy
who really is one of the best yo-yo performers in the world.
It's interesting because really what he is he's a comedian, but he's got the special skill and it makes you realize like, oh, there's a lot of these people around who are just funny, but you can't really make a living just being funny. And so what he does is he's one of these guys that travels around the state of Connecticut and does performances at libraries and schools. There's a lot of them. And our little schools are lucky that we have a lot of these interesting performances, and I wish I could have seen him light a match with a yo-yo. That would have been very interesting.
All right, and then you've got the story on the Kent Art Show with works by George Lawrence Nelson.
Right, and that's closing at the end of the month, and a lot of interesting art in Kent, always, but especially right now.
And then the story, A Feast for All Senses at 100 Main.
Janet and I went over, of course, the new 100 Main is just around the corner from our office, and so, and we had actually looked at that building on Main Street, which was pretty run down and kind of a mess. And what Bunny Williams and Seth Churchill did with that space is just, it just makes you understand that some people have a magic touch. And she's curated a really good selection of stuff. It's not just your usual gifty stuff. It's art by artists that you know from the area, the best of the art that you've seen from your friends' collections. And she's looking for embroiderers, if you are an embroiderer. It's not inexpensive, but there is something in, you know, moderate. Like, you can get a $20 coffee cup, but it's a really worth it $20 coffee cup. So we recommend it.
All right. You can drink. What's that, that famous coffee? Maybe with bat stuff in your $20 coffee cup.
That's right. Well, you took number 6 Depot from Pittsfield is the best coffee gun. This is a very opinionated, unlike shopping on air for you all today. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Sidewalks are concerned in North Canaan. I'm reading the story, and even though they put in new lights in Canaan, it always has been a dark lit area.
Yeah. This has been going on for, I feel like, a decade. They've been talking about the center of town, and there have been all these meetings. Sometimes there's more energy, sometimes there's less. The same thing's happening in Kent right now, where they're still working on the streetscape. They had a grant. The grant's about to run out, and they're trying very hard to get that going. Falls Village, as you pointed out, is a town where they managed to really – they redid their sidewalks. It's very inviting. North Canaan's still struggling with it a little bit. So an article on that discussed at the selectmen's meeting. But then on the flip side, Cornwall, which seems to really have a good record at getting stuff done, moving through on the septic thing, which maybe if you're a reader of the Lakefield Journal, you feel like it's been going on forever but hasn't, and moving forward now – with the study that will then lead to some repairs on that important septic system for the business center of West Cornwall.
And so it looks like there might be an electrical bicycle store coming into where the restaurant used to be.
That would be a great thing. Those e-bikes is a huge thing right now.
But could you imagine in the spring, and I don't know about the winter, but in the spring and summer and fall, the people, that if you had them to buy and rent there, I mean,
To recharge them.
Yeah.
Because you need a charging station.
Yep. Best in Cavallaro is merging with Sotheby's, but it's still going to be the Best in Cavallaro gang at Sotheby's.
Right, because, you know, the Sotheby's office in Salisbury is pretty small. So I don't think that they've fully decided yet what they're going to do in terms of real estate. But you have these two, you know, big agencies, and Sotheby's is really Pac-Manning up in the area, but seems to be doing a nice job, and has some of the quirkiest, most interesting, you know, very maverick people, even though it's such a big corporate entity. And so Best in Cavallaro, started by Pat Best and Marty Cavallaro. Marty is retiring. Sotheby's has taken them in, and the agents at both sides seem very happy. And, you know, I quoted the press release a lot in here, but really, it's what the agents are saying to me off the record as well. It's like, wow, they have incredible resources at Sotheby's. We're really excited to have, like, you know, their computer, their website, all this stuff is going to be great. So we wish them the best.
All right. Now, before we get to the blight safety, I know we're going to do Kent, but we had another drowning in the area, which you obviously will cover in the Lakefield Journal more in details next week. But that leads to the next story out of Salisbury, seeking answers on town blight and waterfall safety.
So Jeremy Dakin, who is a Salisbury and Falls Village ambulance volunteer and lives right near the falls, came to the selectmen. He said, what can we do about this? And so it's the Salisbury – a lot of the parking happens on the Salisbury side in the what's called Amesville, which some people don't realize is Salisbury, but that side of the river is Salisbury. And we've had – you know, I would say we're starting to have a drowning every year or two between Bulls Bridge. And so we just had a drowning in Bulls Bridge last week. So I was down in Kent yesterday. I went by Bulls Bridge, and there are no parking signs all over the road there. And there is that one little parking lot, and you have to then get out of your car, walk across the bridge, and then, you know, go through these gates and get down to the area. But I went down there, and there were two people hanging right at the edge of the water. And I've been at Falls Village. We did a story last year where I was out there once on a hot Saturday, and there must have been 50 or 60 you know, people from the Bronx and Brooklyn came up, parked all on the side of the road, and picnicking down there. And Jeremy in the story says, you know, you go down there, and he said, I saw a dad standing at the top of the falls throwing his young children into the falls. And as we all know, people died doing that. You know, a local kid died doing that, who was a great swimmer and really knew the falls. It's got a rotator effect. So it sucks kids under, or adults, good swimmers, strong swimmers. And there's all these rocks and there's holes down there, and they create this very complex system of eddies that can suck you in. And also, even the flat water is much more turbulent than you realize it is.
The area in Bulls Bridge, I laughed when I saw this, and they call that a passive recreation area.
Right.
And now, how many people really that are coming to visit that site understand that passive means don't go in the water, fools. Don't go into, you know.
Yeah. And so I went, when I was down there yesterday, I took pictures of the signs because I thought all these places need to have a sign in Spanish really big that says Peligroso, don't swim, and have a picture and with a red line through it. And in Kent, the one that they have is about 12 feet up on a tree as you've already entered the park. And if you're walking down those slippery stones, you're not looking up at those signs. And it says, the sign in small type, it says, you know, please. And it says, you know, don't fish, don't do this. And by the way, it's not a swimming area. That's the only thing. And they've got a big wooden sign case at the front that just says it's a passive recreation area. Here's our other passive recreation areas. And there's a big empty space there. It would be perfect to put a sign in that says Peligroso, but they should be posting them. I think that they have an obligation to post these signs in Spanish.
They do. But, and also in English, because there's a lot of people, I mean, I hate to say this, that come here to the area that aren't familiar that passive recreation area means you don't get in the water.
You don't get in the water.
Yeah.
And you pointed out a little bit ago that because people know about it and are taking photographs of it, et cetera, you know, word gets out.
And yet it's not the people that live here that are the problem. It's people who are coming up from out of town and don't. And they're like, they may grow up in a place where there are very gentle waterfalls and it seems really safe. This is not a pair of gentle waterfalls.
No. And what they don't understand is that most of the people they put at risk, police, and are volunteers that they put at risk. I want to go on to a story because I remember when it first started, the Sharon Sprint Triathlon. I want to go on to the story because I remember the first year it started, and it was I was amazed, and it's been around now for 12 years where you bike, swim, and run, and 75 people, I think, turning out for it.
And a
bear. Oh, of course.
Obviously.
That's probably the bear who...
The bear was eating too much carbon, is trying to lose weight now. So I started doing triathlons.
But you've got a great picture there, but also a nice story on it. And I don't think people realize how amazing that a triathlon like this is.
So Lance Christensen, who's an expert at many, many things, but also particularly a great photographer, went and took photos and wrote just the sweetest, most interesting story, really with information that you would only know if you were an athlete who's done these things before. And Matt Meddy has done an incredible job getting that sprint going. And the first few years, it really was a struggle. And now... I think he said he needs 30 people, and then they can pay for all the summer concerts on the green. And I think we have the number in here, but I think it was over 50.
Yeah.
And a lot of times families come out and they take turns, which is a really nice thing to have in triathlon, so that one person does the swim, one person does the run, one person does the bike. And you see often, you know, little kids are doing it and enjoying it, and it's a really nice family activity.
All right. Now, Patrick Sullivan, I like his story. How to decide if it's too hot for trout.
Patrick is often very funny and often writes compellingly these little short stories about fishing, but this is a super educational one. And if you have any interest in fishing, and it is a good season for it, this is a great story about how you know, just all sorts of little things. It's not just how you know what the water conditions are, but all sorts of little fishing tips and noting about the white fly season because it's the big hatch is happening now. And then actually our proofreader had asked to flip the photo over because she felt that the face of the fish should be facing forward. And Patrick gave us a nice explanation in the office about when you take a fish out of the water, do not hold it by its belly. Hold it on its back because otherwise the organs sink down and the fish will die. If you're interested in fishing, do read this article.
All right, I want to go on to your editorial page. It's a lengthy editorial. Shootings are a bipartisan critical issue that needs dedicated attention. I hope that's true. I really do. Sometimes I wonder.
Well, I believe that statement is true. Now, does that mean that our leaders are acting on it as if that's a true statement? That's another story, but I think it's inarguable that they are bipartisan. Those who get shot at these mass shootings are, all kinds of people. Of course, there have been situations as at El Paso where certain groups are targeted. And, people of that was also, however, bipartisan. There were Trump supporters in that group, as well as not Trump supporters. And so it is time, and certainly our senators from Connecticut have been dedicated to this and continue to be, And from what I saw yesterday, Chris Murphy, our senator in Washington, was part of a group that is negotiating directly with the president. In the past, what's happened is that these horrible incidents happen. A lot of people talk about it all at once, and then it sort of goes by the wayside because so many other things come up in the news stream to deflect the attention. But it could be this is the time that attention stays with it. We certainly hope so, and please do read the editorial and let us know your thoughts.
Along with that editorial, you go over there on your the Viewpoint page, partisan debate on gun lacks clarity and honesty. It's absolutely true. Things seems to roll out of get out of control within 2 seconds when people on either side of the issue start to talk, Janet. It there's just no tolerance for the other side.
That's right, and there has to be some courage in our leadership in order to overcome this in our country today. And so Chris Powell, in that column on the partisan debate on guns, gives another side of it. There are many different ways to discuss it, but there needs to be something we can agree upon, even if it's step by step by step, to try to address this. And so we're putting everything out there and hope that this is the time when our leaders do find some courage.
And Peter Steiner's, I won't say cartoon, editorial cartoon, hits a nail on the head. I mean, I don't know. I just shake my head like last night when the six officers got trapped in a house, right, responding. There comes a time where you just have to look at this and say, all right, everybody put down their preconceived notions and see what we can do to change this.
And one thing that would be really helpful is when let it be known that it's being talked about coherently, not just in sound bites that say, you're wrong, no, you're wrong, well, you're more wrong, well, you're more wrong.
Exactly. You know, those cops who have to go out to these scenes are often not as highly armed as the people they are facing.
Exactly.
Who are determined to kill somebody. And if it's, you know, those six cops are now out of the hospital, thank God. But there could have been a much different ending to that situation as well. And we need to react to what's happening on the ground. Is this the society we want?
All right, we've got 2 minutes left, and let's get away from guns and violence. And let's go to...
This is a challenge. You have thrown down the gauntlet. Okay, here's what we've got.
You can do it.
Tons of fun stuff in Compass. Read Caitlin Oldinger if you're wondering what the difference is between Cava, Prosecco, and Champagne. C.B. Wismar, I'm from Chicago. Studs Terkel, obviously a huge hero. And there's a musical, and he says it's great. He's just like, just go. Mars and Epworth reviews Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat by the Technicolor Amazing Guys at the Sharon Playhouse. I'm sure it'll be another huge, huge hit. Tilly Strauss, talking about Eric Forsman, again, a Sharon hero, curated a show at the Eckert Gallery in Kent, which is his gallery, and it's all about realism, which is his style, and it's got some of his work, and a book review by Sophia Kaufman about somebody who is scamming in a way that people sometimes do in the modern world. Discover the Canaans, our special issue. We worked really hard on it. Please do read it, because if one more person says to me, like, wait, I don't understand, is it Canaan or Falls Village or North Canaan? It's all explained here. It's a service that we're providing to you in the community, but it's also a super fun read, and it's got some news stories. You know, we profile Eric Fedden, who is the guy that's doing those great documentaries. We talk about the History Center and Catherine Boughton. So those are two different ways that these towns are preserving their heritage. We talk about the two libraries, which are both very, very fun. And who knew that tiny little library in North Canaan has got a lot going on. Same in Falls Village. And the old churches that have been for sale in the area, what's happening to them, and the, you know, sort of like the Sharon Sprint, a little car show that just sort of started as a little throwaway idea has become this huge thing where it practically shuts the town down. So do pick up. You get a lot in this week's Lakeville Journal. And go to our Instagram page, because we're posting a lot of the photos there that we don't use in the regular paper.
And by the way, I love the pictures that you got, Marsden got of Joseph, the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat,
which is a modernist.
It's a rock opera, basically, without being a rock. And once again, they carry it off. They're carrying it off flawlessly. Yeah. They did a great job there.
Great reviews, and apparently this new production is in keeping with the original intention of it.
Oh yeah, they I tell you, it's pretty amazing. And I got to interview everybody behind the scenes, from the director, the choreographers, and the lighting people. Yeah. It's amazing what goes into each show.
A lot going on at that place. Amazing.
And so much talent. We're so lucky to have them here.
And they're mixing it up with local people again, which is the secret. Well, these stories and many, many more in the Lakeville Journal.
48 pages.
Online at tricornernews.com, Facebook, and now
Instagram. The Lakeville Journal. Follow us.
All right. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, tricornernews.com on the web.